Welcome to the Patriot Pastors Podcast. It's so good to have you with us today. My name's Harold Smith. I'm joined by the pastor of Barrel Baptist Church in Valonia, Arkansas, Wade Lentz. How you doing, Wade?
I'm doing good, Harold. How are you, man?
Recovering from the illness. Uh-oh. I don't want to give it a name, but I'm not sure I had it, but it seems like everybody around here did. So
yeah.
Probably throw my name in the mix.
Yeah, that time of the year, right?
I'm telling you, the thing that gets me about this time of year is even before the dreaded illness, anytime those white trees started blooming, my nose started closing up. My eyes started watering. Mm. Bradford pears just kill me. And it seems like they grow in every roadside ditch now. They've just taken over our part of the country.
Oh, wow. Well, I was telling you earlier, we're in the midst of lambing season. Most of you guys who listen to us regularly know that I raise Katahdin sheep. This, I guess, last 2 weeks, we've been having lambs, and I'm up to about, I believe, 13 lambs thus far and have 8 more mamas to go. Mm. So, yeah, it's busy time of the year.
You having a good survival rate this year? Everything?
Yeah, everything well? Is so far so good.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely warming up. Springtime is here. It's time to start turning those gardens over. If they're dry enough to turn over, that'll be the question.
Yeah.
It's about to get busy.
Yes, absolutely.
We've got a good topic today. It was something you and I kind of discussed maybe before or after our last podcast, but it's kind of a thought that I've had in my mind for a while. And you just, when one of us, I don't remember who mentioned it, but we were talking about the lack of capital punishment in our country today. And just, you know, the Bible is very clear that capital punishment has a place for certain crimes. But it seems, Wade, as though we live in a day where the death penalty is like almost forbidden. You know, it's like, when was the last time someone was executed? And you say, well, it's been a while. Well, when was the last time you heard of just a heinous crime? And it would seem to me like I hear more of these crimes, just like mass shootings, mothers killing their own children, fathers killing their whole families.
Yes.
Serial murderers. It seems like that's not something of a fictional movie. That seems to be commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
But the punishment for those crimes is almost non-existent.
Right. Yeah, we talked about, you know, our last episode was on Romans chapter 1. And the fall of a nation, and how a nation just gets into gross sin. As we looked at our nation and just lined it up with Romans chapter 1, it is just mind-boggling how close and relevant that is. But after that episode, it was then that I found out of that University of Georgia student. Her name is Lakin Riley, who was a senior in University of Georgia, who was brutally murdered just outside of her, the university there, killed as she was running, killed by an illegal immigrant. And sent you that text and thought, man, you know, we talked about this today and look at this. And you sent back, you know, if we would just get back to execution, this kind of stuff would stop. Not completely, but it would slow it down.
Yeah.
Man, I'm in full agreement with you.
Well, one fact can't be denied. Dead criminals commit less crimes than living criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people have been guilty of a number of capital punishment offenses.
Yeah.
In other words, you could murder someone in 2008, go to prison for 3 or 4 years, get out, murder someone in 2012, go to prison for 10 years, get out in 2022, and now you've murdered 2 people. You should have been executed the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
You've murdered 2, and now you're back out again, and you haven't reformed. And that seems to be the push away from the death penalty is always to reform people. Well, let's just reform them and put them back in society. But to be quite honest with you, most of the people that I see when I watch an episode of Cops, they're on parole. They just got out of prison. They didn't get reformed while they were in prison. And, you know, it's not like they've never been to jail before. They've been to jail multiple times.
Yes.
At some point in time, jail no longer reforms someone. And if we take away the ultimate punishment of capital punishment, the execution of a criminal, we've really removed the final verdict for someone that is a menace to society. And usually the solution is we'll just lock them up forever.
Mm-hmm.
How many people can you lock up forever? I mean, we're realizing that death row, that long-term life sentence just goes on and on and on. Yeah. And so I was thinking, and I always kind of go back to this because I live in the Fort Smith area. We were famous for a judge in the old American West days named Isaac C. Parker. His nickname was the Hanging Judge. And he got that name by executing criminals. When he came to Fort Smith, I think there had been two or three executions in the previous 10 years. He was a federal judge here for 21 years, and he sentenced 160 people to death. Mm-hmm. 160 people. These were all by hanging on gallows. Of the 160, only 79 were executed. Some of them died while in incarceration. Some of them were pardoned. Some of them had their sentences commuted. Or, you know, got off with a retrial. But what Isaac Parker did was he established law and order on the frontier. Mm-hmm. And that law and order came from someone who was willing. He wasn't punishing. He wasn't hanging people for stealing a pocket watch. He said the only people that I ever sentenced to hang were those that the law said this is punishable by death.
Mm-hmm.
The law sentenced them. All I did was take the verdict that was rendered to me and administer the punishment. In hanging those 79 people over 21 years, here's what happened. The crime in our area bottomed out. Criminals were like, this is no place to commit rape. This is no place to commit murder. This is no place to commit these kind of crimes. And they all left. And when criminals were caught, they were notorious. If they were caught in Oklahoma, they were notorious for saying, please take me to Coffeeville, Kansas. You know, please take me to Wichita, Texas. Take me somewhere other than Fort Smith, Arkansas, because they enforce the law.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Wade, that's what we're missing in this country. We're missing an enforcement of the law.
Right. Right. Yeah. And Judge Parker knew nothing about trying to reform a murderer. You know, that was the farthest thing from his mind. And really, any nation that longs to reform a cold-blooded murderer is essentially and literally going against God's command as to what should happen to a murderer. So, in essence, this is just another form of rebellion from a nation that has turned its back against God. They know the Bible demands, God demands that whoever sheds innocent blood, that his blood shall be shed by man. And the Bible says that the reason for that is because man is made in the image of God.
Right.
And so the death penalty doesn't cheapen life. It shows how valuable life is. And so when people understand that the death penalty is a command by God, and we're talking about first degree murder, okay? We're not talking about manslaughter.
Not an accidental death. We're talking about someone that's killed an innocent person intentionally.
Yeah. And when a nation goes soft on capital punishment, as we have, that nation ceases to be a just nation because now they are elevating the rights of the guilty murderer above the rights of the innocent life that murderer took.
No, that's a good point.
And that's essentially what's happening. They're elevating the rights of the murderer above the person who was a victim. And it's really hard to see. And what's another aspect of this is the long appeal process. From the time that they are pronounced guilty or rendered the death penalty, it is up to 20 years to up to almost 30 years sometimes before the execution ever takes place. That in itself is an injustice and wrong. And it shows that they have no, it's not a priority. And it's somehow, I'm sure money is linked into this as each appeal process costs bukus of money. But yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah, it's sad that states began saying we'll not execute anyone for crimes. And yeah, in those states, the first states to do that were some of the most worst crime states in the in America. And I can always think back to California was one of the first states to get rid of the death penalty. And I mean, look at California today. You can steal $950 worth of merchandise from a store, walk out with it, and not be arrested. It has to be over $950 to be worthy of arresting them for shoplifting.
Mm-mm-mm.
That all started with, we're not going to execute Charles Manson, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles Manson, the guy was a psycho killer.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll keep him in prison and try to reform him. How'd that work out? I remember seeing him on 2020, you know, when I was a kid. Yeah. I'm like, this guy's a space cadet. You're defending his right to life? This guy, I mean, brutally murdered people.
Yeah, he was a mastermind.
He was a mastermind. And they kept him around and let him write books and do interviews and look at him today. I mean, it is a downward spiral that hasn't stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about this earlier. You can have laws on the books that, you know, murder is wrong. But if you do not put penalties against those laws, that law is virtually no good. Yeah. And when a criminal knows that, hey, the worst thing that's going to happen to me is that I'll go to prison for the rest of my life, get fed three meals a day.
Teeth fixed.
Get all my teeth fixed. Yeah. I mean, prison in itself has become a joke. Yeah. If you're talking about reforming, there's nothing about reforming there. You're rewarding criminals today. Yeah. It's not like the prisons like they were in the old days.
Right. Well, there's a big difference between the gulags, you know, between these Russian torture camps and a prison where someone is merely being contained and cared for. When you go to prison, you ought to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You should pay your way. You should do some form of work. We shouldn't be responsible for all of your medical care, all of your food, everything you need while you're incarcerated.
Yeah.
You should be hoeing soybeans. You know, you should be picking up trash on the side of the road. You should be working in some kind. You should be making license plates. That always used to be the joke. You go to prison, you make license plates.
Yeah.
There ought to be some tasks that prisoners do.
Right.
And they ought to work and pay their way. And they should. You could teach them trades. You can give them degrees. You can do all of that, too. But the idea of just letting them sit around and plot their next crime when they get out is absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that's all we're doing. We're just holding them, introducing them to other criminals so that when they get out, they can work together. Mm-hmm. How many times do you find that these criminals say we met in prison? We shared a cell together. You know, we learned to do this from a guy I was in prison with.
All right.
It's a joke. Wade, it is a joke. And we're reaping the benefits from it. And the fact that no one wants to talk about it, like it's a non-issue.
Sure.
It's just like, you know, we're not ever going to discuss this. We're not ever going to change this.
I don't know. Did I ever tell you that I served on a jury trial on the crime of murder?
Really?
It was the first time I ever served as a juror in my life. And this is in Conway, Arkansas. And lo and behold, they pick me to be on the jury trial, to be on a jury of a trial of a young man who's probably 23 years old, who was guilty of second degree murder. Okay. And make a long story short, we found him guilty of second degree murder. But here's the kicker. The jurisdiction of his penalties had already been applied by the lawyer and the judge. So in other words, they told us this is what the max is, which is 30 years, and here's what the minimum is, 5 years. And because I'm like, death penalty.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? This man lured a young man to go with him who is a little bit mentally disabled, took him out to the Lolly Bottoms, which is a soybean field near Arkansas River in South Conway, beat him with a baseball bat, beat him to death, left him there in the soybean fields in a ditch, and they found him guilty. We found him guilty of second-degree murder. We couldn't find him guilty of first-degree murder.
Oh.
You know, again, that was already deliberated by the lawyer and the judges. And so anyway, we find him guilty of 30 years, sentence him to 30 years in prison. However, he would be eligible for parole in 7 years. That was back in 2009 when I served on that jury.
Wow.
He's been out for a while.
Yeah.
A young man who beat another man to death.
Took him out for the purpose of beating him to death.
Yes. Yeah. But he didn't mean to kill him. He didn't mean to kill him. You know, that's what he said.
My stars.
My feeling for the justice system then dropped tremendously, because it is the judges that we have who make deals even before a jury comes in, and then gives the jury the parameters of what kind of sentencing that we are even allowed to render upon this individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're taking a mentally challenged person out into the woods and beating them with a bat and leaving them for dead, you just meant to scare them and rough them up. You didn't mean to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You don't deserve to live on our planet.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's not the kind of place for someone like you.
Right. Right.
Now, Wade, you and I both know the Bible's clear on this, but for those that are listening and are like, well, you guys are just being harsh and mean, and you know, you need to give these people a second chance. What exactly does the Bible say about those who shed innocent blood?
Mm-hmm. Well, Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 says, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his image. And there's several verses in the Old Testament that state that. But let me read to you Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now notice this. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is, speaking of government or governmental authority, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Criminals are not afraid anymore.
Yeah. I recommend, if you're a Christian, you ought to watch an episode of Cops, the TV show Cops, you know, with the men and women of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
When they pull over a car and everybody in there starts squirming and trying to hide stuff and arguing with the cops, and then they open the door and take off running. And the cop has to go running down the road and tackle them. Maybe they get a dog and turn loose, and the dog tracks the guy down and starts biting him. And the guy says, man, there's no need in you turning the dog loose on me. And the cop says, well, why did you run? And he was like, well, I was scared.
Yeah.
I've never once contemplated jumping out of my car and taking off running during a traffic stop. It's never entered my mind, Wade.
Right, right.
I've never tried to hide stuff when the police officer walks up to my car to get my driver's license. Because I've not done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are running from the cops, fighting with them, trying to hide things, they're doing it because they're criminals. Yeah. And the problem that we're dealing with in our society is people act like the police department has no right to take somebody out of their car and handcuff them, detain them, investigate any of that. It's all like the criminal has all of the defense mechanisms in the world, and those that are trying to enforce the law are the ones that are bad guys in this. And it just seems that way every single time. Our society is so upside down in its justice. Ever since the Floyd case,
Mm-hmm. I mean,
ever since then, it's like justice, law enforcement, punishment for right and wrong has just been more and more and more perverted.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not so much that the common citizen is opposed to the death penalty. It's those who are in leadership. It's those, the DAs, or what do you call them? The district attorneys, something like that. It's those people in charge. It's the judges that are appointed.
Is it fear of the people if they were to sentence someone that they're going to upset the family members of that? I mean, what about the victims that were,
I know,
what about that young man that was beaten up and left for dead and died out in the soybean field? What about his family? Yeah. Is justice served?
Yeah. Honestly, I believe it is due to the fact that God has given us over to reprobate minds, given them over to, they cannot even think clearly enough, think rashly enough to somehow see the justice in putting to death those who are cold-blooded killers.
Yeah.
I just think that in their mind, they're wise, and in their mind that they are somehow elevating life, and they're some intellectual, spiritual person, but in reality, they're fools because they're going against God's law.
I guess I would sum it up this way then. It's kind of like when you and I were in school, you would get a paddling at school at the drop of a hat. I mean, they drag you out the hallway, line you up. I can remember one time there were, me and another kid got in a fight and five people watched it. All seven of us got SWATs.
Mm-hmm.
Five kids were like, we didn't even fight. And they said, you watched it, line up. And I mean, they just went down the row.
Yeah.
There were seven of us out there. Everybody got three licks. 21 SWATs were issued out in a matter of a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there hadn't been anybody got a SWAT in school for years. I mean, probably decades.
Yeah.
But in our time, that was normal. That was common.
It was.
But now paddling is frowned upon. And when you look at parenting, most parents today are not disciplining their children in any way. They've got a better system, God-given system. And in reality, our schools are worse today than they've ever been. Our education system is in the absolute toilet. Just respect among youth is at an all-time low. I mean, kids have no respect for authority, whether parents, teachers, or law enforcement. And I really think it goes back to, we know better than God's word. We know better than to implement the death penalty. We know better than to spank our children. We know better than to enforce, you know, and recognize God's given ministers to carry out the laws. And it's almost as if, like you said earlier, it's man rebelling in the face of God and saying, we know better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And society clearly testifies, no, you don't.
Yeah. That's
right. We're not better off today than we were then.
Yeah. Again, in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 4, but if you do evil, be afraid. God instituted the government, and the way he instituted it was to deter evil.
Yeah.
He made the government in such a way that you ought to be afraid to do the crime because you're going to pay for it.
Right.
So he says, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, who is an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So a righteous government is going to be one who avenges the blood of those who shed innocent blood. Yeah.
Yep.
And when we lose that fear, you've lost society.
Yeah.
You've lost society. And that is where we are at. You know, some people bring up the fact that David, King David, essentially was a murderer. And we would agree to that. He was the mastermind behind Uriah's death.
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't kill him. He had done things that deserved the death penalty, but David did suffer.
Yeah.
David probably would have wished he would have died.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Because remember, God told David, hey, the sword, what you deserve, is not going to leave your home.
Yeah.
You're going to watch your family die. And he did. He watched his infant son. He watched Absalom pass away. He watched Amnon, his other son. I mean, there was even brother killing brother there. And so, yeah, David did not die himself.
Well, let me say this. God has never said, I'm going to pass judgment while you're on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to God's judgment, it is after death. God's judgment is at the end of our life. Now, God can get involved and take someone out in the middle of their life, or God can just allow them to live their life and deal with them after death. And that's what God is, you know, he's not obligated himself to executing swiftly if mm-hmm. someone sins. Moses was a murderer, mm-hmm. but he lived 40 years in the desert after that as a fugitive from justice. So yeah, God is able to punish his people. But like you said in Romans 13, God has implemented government to be the carry out, the people who carry out the mm-hmm. punishment of those who harm the innocent. And so I think it's just a sign of our times. We live in a nation that has just completely forgotten God. We live in a nation that is just quickly going to lawlessness. I mean, mm-hmm. quickly. They can complain all they want about the January 6th riots. That is not the big problem. That is just a talking point.
Mm-hmm.
Real problem is the lack of punishment to those who have broken the laws of the land, and they break them every day. They break them in the drug courts. They break them in the in violence. Shoplifting's at an all-time high. Murder mm-hmm. is at a gang violence is at a high. I mean, all of these things are becoming more and more rampant.
Yeah.
Cities are becoming more and more dangerous. And, you know, they're wanting to talk about something that happened 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. like, haven't got to the bottom of it yet. The real issue here is that there's just a lack of protection for the innocent. There's a lack of the implementation of the laws of our land. Judges are turning a blind eye to it, and lawlessness is increasing, and that's what we're seeing at an alarming rate.
Yeah. You say, Wade, what would your answer be? I would say, well, thanks for asking, but here's what I would do if I was somehow in control. If a man was found guilty, I mean, through DNA, through just all kinds of evidence, found guilty of cold-blooded murder, the execution would be, he would get one appeal, and the execution would take place 6 months after his first rendering of found guilty. His appeal would take place 3 months after that, and then the execution would begin 3 months after that period, after that appeal. Not going 30 years, 20 years, and dragging this thing out. And guess what? We're all concerned about the method of how we execute today. Used to be, when I was a kid, I remember electric chair. Then it went to lethal injection, you know. And now that's even could cause harm to the murderer.
Yeah, they might feel it. They might feel they might feel that they die.
Yeah. Isn't that pitiful?
Well, they used to be public executions.
Yeah.
They were hung publicly in gallows. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the purpose.
Why would they do that?
It's a biblical precept. I mean, Paul tells Timothy, those that are sinning in the church, rebuke in front of the church so the whole church can see that there's a discipline that's applied to those that are rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not killing people in the church, but if someone's out of line, they're out of line publicly, you correct them publicly.
Yeah.
When someone murders another human being, that needs to be confessed and brought forward. Here, we caught this person. Now, here's what happens to those who kill innocent people. And everybody that wanted to watch it could. And here's what mm-hmm. would happen. Kids would watch somebody hanging from a rope and say, man, I don't ever want to embarrass myself, shame my family. I don't want people to watch me die like that.
Right.
It was a deterrent to other people. Hey, look, this is what happens if you want to go kill an innocent person. This is what's going to happen to you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. The only person we're protecting by doing that privately is the criminal. the one that trespassed, the one that broke the law, the one that took someone else's life. They're not the victim in this. They're the perpetrator. Yeah. And I think if the world, I think if America saw the real consequences of their crime and they didn't just go sit in a cell somewhere and smoke cigarettes all day and work out and get medical benefits and get all these other, you know, government benefits and then get put back out on the street. I think if they saw people actually dying and they saw that even if it wasn't a death penalty, let's say you were sentenced to prison.
Mm-hmm.
That was a place you didn't want to go. If that was a place where you had to work and pay your own way.
Yeah.
I think, man, I wouldn't, I've got, there's got to be a better life than what I'm doing that keeps putting me back in here.
Exactly. That's right.
And I just don't think there's any public fear in the hearts and minds of people for committing a crime. I think they play video games and kill people on video games. They look at people that have been in and out of prison their whole life, and there's really no punishment here.
Yeah, that's right.
Time out for a few years or a few months. And other than that, I'll be right back out where I was.
That's so true. Yeah, like we said from the beginning, execution does not lower the value of human life.
No.
It actually elevates it and says, this is so precious.
And I agree with Isaac Parker. It's not like we should just be killing more people.
Right.
We should only execute those that are clearly guilty and clearly guilty of, you know, not accidental, not manslaughter, that are clearly guilty. But if they meet the criteria given to us by the law to be considered for the death penalty, that should be on the table.
Yeah.
And until we get back to doing that, I don't think we're going to see the criminals in this country make any real change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's going to be, until law enforcement is willing to enforce the law, until judges are willing to apply the law, and until they're able to carry out the true punishment of the law, I don't think we're going to see any change in this country in reference to lawlessness.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, folks, there you have it. Two pastors whose opinion is not based upon the world's thoughts. It's based upon what God has said concerning the death penalty and who it should be applied to. We thank you for listening to this edition of the Patriot Pastors Podcast. May the Lord bless you.